it's also great that you get to play in an environment that's safe and take on new challenges and try something out, see if this will work, and realize that it is a game, it's a safe environment.
Well, you see an immediate cause and effect because you are playing with other people and you make a decision, and whether the decision is right or wrong, you're seeing what the repercussions are. And then you also get to see how other people are doing their end of the deal.
In the real life of investing, there is no right or wrong. There's just things you do. It's like making a step to the left and making a step to the right. You don't make a step to the right and make a wrong step. That's how we make progress. So most people, when they invest, they're looking for that hot tip or that one deal that'll make them rich, solve all the money problems. Well, that's not real life. As Diane says, people try and win the lottery today. When they interview Americans, it's really sad. The only way they know how to get rich is win the lottery, and that's the biggest gamble there is. And this guy who won, too, I should go talk to him because he must know something I don't know. But anyway, those the main things about the game is, number one, it's repetition, and you can play with different people. You can learn a lot of things. And also the tapes, listen to them at least 3 or 4 times, and the ideas will begin to sink in because you don't hear everything we're saying right now. So, I'll give you a story of how and why this game is important to me. Is my rich dad used to, for those who read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he would take me through the financial statements. And around 1980, I started my business. It was a nylon and Velcro wallet business that went worldwide, and I was extremely successful. We were making millions of dollars, and then the next day we were broke. And I couldn't understand why. And I went to see my rich dad in Honolulu, and he fundamentally just closed the door, and he started screaming at me. The secretaries were running for cover and all this. He was a good man, but he says, we've all had this problem, is that we don't listen. So the reason he was screaming was, I don't listen. And he kept telling me how important income statements and balance sheets were, how they related to each other, why financial statements were very important. And I said, yeah, I know. And now that I went broke, he knew I did not know. The proof was in the bankruptcy of the business. And he started screaming. He says, I've told you and I've been telling you since you're 9 years old. By this time I was 30 years old. He says, I've been telling you all your life how important financial statements are, but you don't listen. He says, I don't want to hear from you again until you understand how to read and understand the importance of financial statements. Don't come back again. And I left with a tail between my legs. The secretaries were all cringing as I went out the door. And it was about 5 or 6 years before I came back to see him again. I called him every so often. I said, I don't want to talk to you. Not until you understand it. I don't want to talk to you. And so you can ask my wife, Kim, about this. I think it was 88 or 89. I walked back into his office. I knocked on his door. And he looked up at me and he says, you understand now, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. He says, good, now get out of here. Now you understand how money really works. Now you never have to borrow money, or you know, you're not afraid. Fear is what holds most people back. Lack of self-confidence is what holds people back. Fear of losing pulls people back. Making mistakes is what holds individuals back. So that's why I created a board game, so you play with paper money. You know, live dangerously. Bet $100. You know, it's not real money. And you'd be surprised how in a game, this is the important part about a game. A game reflects your true behavior. It really reflects your true behavior. In other words, if you're ultra-conservative, you'll get a really hot stock deal. And instead of betting $10,000, you might bet $10. And at that moment, the game is reflecting back your core, as Sarah was saying, who you are on the inside starts to come out on the game board. The financial statement is very important because in real life, your financial statement is your report card after you leave school. A financial statement is looking at a mirror. It tells you how well you're doing or how poorly you're doing, what's missing, what you need to correct, what you need to add to it. So financial statements are vitally important. Would you agree with that, Diane?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. This was a conversation Robert and I had recently when I was kind of sharing my frustration. As people come in and go through our intake process through our practice, we have people basically go through a profile that pulls that information, where they are now with their financial statement, where is it they want to go. That can be the most painful thing some of these people have ever done. And along with that frequently comes a lot of stories. And we talk about it, that kind of the three elements you can see, either they want to blame somebody, they want to justify where it is, and in rare instances, they want to take responsibility, learn, and step up.
What a financial statement is, it's like looking in the mirror, except it's now with numbers, or climbing on a scale, and you're 5'2" and 195 pounds. The scale's trying to give you some little feedback system here. Or when you go to a doctor, the doctor will pull a blood test or an x-ray or an MRI. What they're trying to do is see the inside of you. So when people who don't know how a financial statement works, and most people leave high school not knowing really how to balance a checkbook, much less a financial statement. So when you look at a financial statement, that's like taking a blood test or an x-ray. And when people actually see what's going on with them, as my friend Keith Cunningham always says, they find out they have cancer of the financial statement. And if they don't correct it, they're going to either bankrupt or die broke, or so they don't have the ability to make corrections. And so what Diane is saying is when people come in after they're 45 years old, 50 years old, and they fill out the financial, and they find out they're in very bad financial shape, that's when the excuses come up, the lay blame, and they want to make the reasons are, you know, the reasons are, my wife spends too much money. I would invest, but my wife is afraid.
The thing that's interesting, too, is that just with this game, as you play the game, what you'll do is pull a card, and you're stepping into somebody's shoes. You might pull the doctor card, and in which case you have a high income and you have a lot of debt that's coming along with it. Well, you now step in, just like in real life where you are today, you have a financial statement that reflects where you are up to now. But now, in the case of the game, you have an opportunity to change what the way that looks. You're going to play so that you get out of the rat race, which means that your passive income, money that you don't have to work for, exceeds your expenses. And for clients that come in to me, most of them, that is their goal. And so they come in with a financial statement. When they can accept responsibility, okay, this is where I am, and what do I need to change? They will make remarkable progress. And when you lay that with the foundational skills you learn from playing cash flow, it's exponential. You can see change within 6 months that up until then you've broken patterns that have taken 40 years to get there.
What Diane is saying really quickly is most people think they're rich if they have a high income. In other words, earned income. Oh, he makes $500,000 a year. Well, it doesn't mean you're rich. What really makes you rich is the process called investing, where you convert earned income to either passive income, which is income from buying real estate, or portfolio income, which is buying stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's how you know you're rich. And when most people pull their financials up, they find out they have lots of earned income, but they have no passive and no portfolio. And that's when the lights go on for them. They have the wrong kind of income.
Well, you learn to prepare no matter what life throws at you. As she said, that you may pull the doctor card, you may pull the other card, but you learn to take what you have and work with it. You learn the strategies on how to get your money to work for you no matter how much is coming in the door.
That's a very good point. You see, most people think cash flow is the game board with the two tracks on it. If you look at your game board right now, you'll find the fast track and the rat race. When Sarah was saying, like I'm blowing in my Aloha shirt, my flip-flops and shorts, it's because I'm on the fast track. Nobody really sees me. My income is coming from assets like real estate and my stocks and my other companies. So I don't need to see anybody because it's all income that I don't have to work for anymore. But the real game board is actually the financial statement, the income statement and balance sheet. It's also the profession cards, like a doctor to a janitor. What you'll find out is, you know, the doctors make more money. They also, on these cards, have higher expenses. The janitor makes less money, but correspondingly less expenses. One of the objects of the game is what people find out. It doesn't make a difference if you're a doctor or a janitor. You can still win the game. It has nothing to do with earned income. It has nothing to do with how much money you make. The other part of the game board are the cards. You'll find big deal cards, small deal cards, market cards, and doodad cards. Those are all real life cards over there. So those are really the game boards. I think the game board or the small track and the big track are just an illusion sitting in front of you. And so when people start playing the game, one of the objectives is how fast can you get out of that rat race on a consistent basis. So what I recommend is this: play that game at least two times. It might take you 4 hours to understand the game the first time, maybe 5 hours a second time. That's like learning to ride a bicycle. It's difficult at first. You're learning so many multiple parts simultaneously. Then what you want to figure out is, can I get out of that rat race on a consistent basis in less than an hour? Not that you'll always do it, but can you get out of the rat race in less than an hour? And it doesn't make a difference what profession you are. In other words, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a janitor, it doesn't make any difference. At that point, you've truly mastered the game because, as Sarah says, no matter what life throws at you, you're prepared.
There's another element on that, too. As you're playing the game, you start off with a static position. You've got the janitor card, the mechanic card. Also, as you play the game, there will be times when you're not getting cards. Nobody at the table's getting any deals. Nothing's coming up. As opposed to another time when there seems to be a lot of bad luck getting drawn. Well, that's real life. Things tend to just happen, and there's an environment outside of our control. And as Sarah pointed out, the key is to plan, not predict. And part of the planning is to have available different strategies, different ways of doing things, depending on what happens.
How the cards are falling for you at this moment. you know, whether they're good cards, bad cards. So if Sarah's winning the game ahead of me, it doesn't mean she's better than me. The cards aren't coming in my direction. So am I going to just sit there like a bump on the log, like a lot of people do? Well, I've been in this job 30 years. I'm going to stay another 20 years. That's what most people do. So that's what Diane and I came up with, a list, because after playing the game, one of the most, the fun part about the game is you see all the cast of characters. Like I said, what the game does, it reflects back to you who you are. And so these cast of characters come up. One of the first cast of characters to see is the bill payer. They think the way to get rich is they pay off their bills. And these are the people who believe in living cheap, being frugal, and trying to get rich. Now, you can get rich by being cheap. The problem is, you're still cheap. And why be cheap and be rich? It never made any sense to me.
The other one that we came up with was the gambler. And that's the guy who's just any deal that he draws, he's buying. Every deal is a good deal. Just buy it, buy it, buy it, buy it.
Right. And the bill payers that one, I'll see them, they go, well, I just hate debt. And there's a lot of people going around who are saying debt is bad. Well, that's true for 90% of the cases. But a sophisticated investor knows there's good debt and bad debt. So as you're playing this game, after you play it 4, 5, 6, 7 times, you'll see that there's good debt and bad debt. And what a true sophisticated investor knows is what's good debt and bad debt. Bad debt is money that takes money from your pocket. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. Diane is my accountant, and she knows this. I have millions of dollars of debt, but it's debt that makes me rich. So people who are saying debt is bad, cut up your credit cards, they're not a very sophisticated person. And that's the bill payer mentality. As I said, most bill payers never get rich.
It's interesting, as we talk about debt, as you're playing the game, there will be times when you might want to take a loan from the bank to buy an investment. That's a case of a debt that's feeding an asset that's going to put money in your pocket. That's opposed to the debt that other people will run up called consumer debt.
Yeah, in this game, they're called doodads, right? And in this game, they're big boats and television sets and all this. What most people really enjoy buying, we punish you in this game.
Please turn the tape to side B.